Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady and best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my dear, and shalom to all, and much thanks for tuning in.
This week we are studying the writings of Zephaniah.
Yes, a lot of meat going on with this prophet. So let us now bow our hearts in prayer.
Lord God, we praise you and thank you for your holy word. For we love the prophet books. We love the prophet books that reveal so much to those of us living in the end days. We pray for the suffering who are called by your name and desire your divine healing and your supernatural comfort. May they trust that you will see them through. We continue to lift up to your throne the salvations of our loved ones. May they be set apart for your coming kingdom. We pray for our president. Give him your wisdom during these trying days. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, all eyes are looking at Iran. Do you think they hit those tankers?
Not totally. Because of history, and remember, the Masonic puppet masters wrote in their 1906 Morals and Dogmas that there would be three world wars. So, they could easily be behind this. They are the wicked supreme over the Jesuit-controlled CIA and can easily fake anything, and often do, to make it look like others are at fault.
Yeah, you know, this just doesn't smell right.
I know. To hit a Japanese ship when the Japanese leader is in Iran at the time, who Iran really needs Japan because they're one of the few still buying Iran's oil, defying the sanctions.
Yeah, you know, that'd be ludicrous.
Even Japan says Iran is not responsible. And the picture of the small boat removing a limpet mine from the ship could have just been a large ship magnet, and they're called pilot magnets that are used to secure temporary ladders when trying to rescue people off the ship.
And we know there were other similar vessels there to help with the rescue.
Yes, and most of us know there have been numerous false flags manufactured to kickstart most of the wars.
Oh, well, including Vietnam, and we all remember Iraq,
which John Bolton was highly in favor of back then. And now he's back with similar rhetoric. Now, what do you make of that?
And we are still suffering the consequences from Iraq.
Yeah, like for the last 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now the warmongers who take orders from the global elite want another major war.
Possibly killing millions more.
I know Iran has a few proxies that we, but especially Israel, must often deal with, but it just makes me sick to think that more of our young men and women would have to be subjected to another world war. One must do their own homework, as we often say, because there's lots of historical information out there, and it's easy to find.
Yeah, we are merely pawns on a chessboard of black and white.
Proving again, for real Christians, this is not our home, just a temporary gas station on a narrow road.
As Peter, 1 Peter, verse 2 says, we are sojourners.
I wasn't sure of that one either. And soon to be rescued from this diabolical world. Meanwhile, be about the Father's business and, trust that he'll take care of the rest.
But you don't think Trump will push for an Iranian war, right?
Well, I don't think, because scripture has Iran, called Persia in the Bible, as being a major force in the war of Ezekiel 38. And we know by verses 10, 14, and 19 in Ezekiel 38 that it will happen, but later in that day, which is our idiomatic clue that it happens during the tribulation. And we're going to be removed prior. However, there will likely be some probable tit-for-tat surgical strikes, but definitely not a full-scale war, in my opinion.
Well, that's comforting for all of us.
Well, it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
But let me add one more detail. I do believe those nations that will come against Israel in Ezekiel 38 will first plan to remove Israel's stronghold, the United States. And that's so we can't interfere.
Man, you know, that coincides with Jeremiah 30 and verse 11.
That is why it's imperative that you today tell all your loved ones that still refuse to make Jesus Lord over their lives right now to be sure to change their mind immediately when they see we've escaped, and to quickly accept Christ before America goes down and many will die. God will always have mercy so they can still be in his kingdom. Oh, not as the bride, but a tribulation saint.
You know, he really is a merciful God.
Can't deny that.
Okay, in other news, President Trump is pleased that a town is being named after him in Israel's Golan.
Yes, it's called Trump Heights. However, he is also a bit annoyed because, well, Netanyahu first could not form his government.
Missing just one seat.
Right. But he's also upset because Israel has struck a deal with Communist China to run a facility at Israel's seaport in Haifa on the Mediterranean coast starting in 2021. Though the U.S.-Israeli relations are as close, if not closer, than they have ever been under President Trump, this arrangement with China does threaten to disrupt things and poses a high security risk.
This is very serious to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And we have even threatened to halt our regular shipping visits to Haifa should the Israeli pact with China be implemented. It could happen that Israel will have to choose between China and the United States over the disposition of the Haifa port. And most in the U.S. Congress find this very troubling, that Netanyahu would even think of doing anything that would potentially undermine the rapport that we have together.
Is this just about money? Since I'm sure China is paying them very well.
Maybe even more, in that Israel is finally enjoying unprecedented success in establishing trade relations with countries that had formerly shunned it.
We do see how China's presence in the Middle East is growing fast.
Oh, it really is, especially along the coastlines, as well as closer relationships with Iran and Russia.
Meanwhile, Washington continues with their chaos and partisanship.
Yeah, yes, and it's very exhausting.
Okay, be sure to send your comments or end-time questions to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office. But be sure to leave your phone number with your detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we will call you back or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And yes, we do need your help to stay on the air. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
An abundance of information.
Yes, it is. Okay, the book of Zephaniah.
Yes, a great prophecy book with a dual application, first coming for Judah and later for the last generation.
Much insight to the final days of judgment.
His contemporaries, Jeremiah and Nahum, were also preaching to Judah. But Jeremiah included more future predictions, but then the size of Jeremiah's writings are considerably longer. Zephaniah wrote around 640 B.C. in the days of the good but young King Josiah, who took over at age 8 after his wicked father King Amon was murdered.
Wasn't there also a previous very young king?
Yes, Joash, age 7, and he was the son of Athaliah.
Her parents were Ahab and Jezebel.
That's right. You can read about that in 2 Kings 11, but that's for another time.
Zephaniah's name means Yahweh hides.
We believe he was born during the latter years of the evil king Manasseh's reign, but God hid Zephaniah from him.
Manasseh, the king who sawed Isaiah in two, literally.
Yes, Manasseh became king at age 12, and was king for like 55 years. And during that time, he polluted God's temple with idols, turned the priests into astrologers, consulted with witches, and even sacrificed some of his own children to Moloch. You know, there stands a statue of Moloch today at the Bohemian Grove in California, where the very elite show up to misbehave every July and participate in the cremation of care ceremony.
You mean where they cremate all their cares?
Yes, at the statue of Moloch. Anyhow, Manasseh's son, Amon, was also evil, but only ruled for about 2 years when his own servants killed him. Anyhow, Zephaniah and the young King Josiah, well, they were distant cousins.
Both of whose great-great-grandfather was Hezekiah.
So Zephaniah was from the royal line as well. Nobleman, so not poor.
It must have been difficult for Zephaniah to say what God told him.
For sure, but he did it anyway. We know from 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles that this very young Josiah had some older advisors who were as corrupt as his father, King Amon. So Zephaniah would counsel Josiah, often contradicting the advisors. But one day, Josiah had him enter a royal court meeting of all these men to announce the words Zephaniah received from the Lord about the fact that God one day would judge Judah. And in fact, in that day, all the world. The lesson for us from Zephaniah is that we are also of the royal line. And in spite of all the evil circulating around us, we should not give in to peer pressure. Unfortunately, today, many are, or they remain silent, so to not stir up the waters.
Silence or tolerance is the same as giving in to peer pressure.
We must all guard against doing that. Okay, honey, could you read verses 1, 2, and 3 that we understand first speaks of the final judgment? But as it is given to them, they could probably believe that it applied right to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord.
Okay, let me add that the original text actually uses the word all in verse 2 after the word consume, and that's number 3605, but it's from the root word kalal, which means God will remove just what is necessary to make perfect. In other words, anything, man or beast, that has been defiled, well, as God also had done in the days of Noah. Okay, now comes verses 4 and 5, which is specifically meant for them.
I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. The names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops.
So then, who is Zephaniah referring to as the host of heaven? Evil entities who fly in the heavenlies, one would think. But I like to go a little deeper and more in context, these would be fallen angels, as in little g gods, who demanded the people's worship and got it.
Of course, these are not the ones who are chained in Tartarus.
No, but apparently there are others who had at one time been given authority by God over the Gentile nations, but then rebelled, desiring their own worship. Now, a good example of this is in Daniel 10, and called the Prince of Persia, where Michael the chief prince came to help the angel Gabriel. You probably remember that.
Yeah, Psalm 82 makes it a lot plainer.
Oh, yeah. You can read that on your own, but we see there that God allowed a congregation of heavenly hosts, also called the Divine Council in some translations, as in the Amplified, and he allowed them to make decisions, of course, overseen by God, but we know that they have a free will because many have chosen to follow their leader, Satan.
Well, yeah, another example would be in Daniel 4, verses 13 through 17.
Yes, and a real good example of dialogue between God and his heavenly spirits is in 1 Kings 22, beginning around verse 18. And I hope you're all writing this down and can look this up later. But bottom line, even some who say they are Christians are compromising their faith today, as in Allah. You know, the MO of the harlot is that we all worship the same God, etc. Some even worship Satan himself. Now, there are many little g gods, as in the God of self, the God of money, and even the God of science, taking precedence above his word. I think we all know that. Anyway, let's continue with Zephaniah, still in chapter 1, in verse 5.
Those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Milcom.
This false god was the national idol of the Amorites and sacrificed babies to. Today, abortion is sacrificing to the god of humanism, or you could say modern Milcom. God says they were showing allegiance to both. Again, it's called compromise. Are we doing that today? I think so. And as we already said, by calling on Allah and also Yahweh as the same God. Think of that. Okay, still in verse 6, and now we're describing others.
Those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him, be silent in the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests.
The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. This is how the sacrifice of the many wicked that Jesus slays when he returns, and the birds will be filled up, and his guests are the Lord's invited ones, his sheep. I think maybe we should read how that is confirmed in Revelation 19. Could you read verses 17 through 21?
Yeah. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all the people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against them who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Those two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh.
Don't need to comment on that. Okay, let's continue in verse 8 back in Zephaniah chapter 1.
And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel.
In other words, not God's apparel of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Remember Matthew 22, the guests who tried to get into the wedding but had on the wrong clothing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 9.
In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's house with violence and deceit.
Okay, you probably remember back in the Old Testament, we read how the Philistines would leap over the threshold of their temple because it was there that their god Dagon lost its head and hands when it fell on the threshold in front of the Ark of the Covenant, which they had stolen. But, of course, they soon returned, and you can read about that in 1 Samuel 5. Okay, verses 10 and 11, and we're still in the future tribulation.
And there shall be in that day, says the Lord, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, you inhabitants of Maktesh.
Yes, that was a village in northern Jerusalem.
For all the merchant people are cut down. All those who handle money are cut off.
Verse 12 to the end of this chapter, clearly describing the tribulation and self-explanatory.
And it shall come to pass that at that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Therefore their gods, their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land.
Wow, don't even have to comment much on that. That is just devastating, and it's coming. Now, we'll continue this next week, of course, in chapter 2, but there can be no doubt about it. Judgment is on the way. Are you compromising your faith? Think about that. How about those of you out there listening that really have never made him Lord over your life? You need Jesus residing in your heart. How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Jesus is your Savior who has totally paid your debt for your sins. Grab it right now. Unless, of course, you prefer to pay the debt for your sins yourself. But it's always your choice. Just like the angels had a choice, you have one too. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6, 22 and through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper in every way. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. Please try to read those scriptures that we emphasized this week. Do your own study, of course, and talk to someone about the Lord. And we'll see you next week. God bless and Shalom.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.